Good morning. Greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome this morning. I had some thoughts here as we were singing that song, Nothing But the Blood. Do we realize the depth that is actually in that song? You know, as I understand how our body works, our blood is flowing through my body and is continually cleansing me from the poisons and things that would build up. And as I understand, you know, people that get sicknesses and cancers, it's because their blood is no longer cleaning out the poisons of their body. But the scripture says in 1 John, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So as we are walking in honesty and purity, there's nothing between us and God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us because he sees we have faith in him. And so there's some powerful depths there and similarities to how the blood works in our bodies. So praise the Lord for that. And so, but if there's sin gets in the way, what happens? A person starts going downhill. He's no longer being cleansed, starts drawing away from fellowship, starts drawing away from God. And because the blood of Jesus Christ, he's not being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ because Satan has gotten a stronghold. The same way in our, as it works in our bodies. So praise the Lord for that. I just wanted to, was blessed with that thought as we were singing that song. So, before we begin, if you want to, let's rise and have a word of prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you and we bless you for this opportunity that we have to gather with the saints, with the children of God. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to meet with us as you already have, Father, and minister to our hearts through song and through the preaching of your word this morning and the reading of scriptures. We just ask that you would continue this and, Lord, that we would be inspired further to go on into the kingdom of God. Lord, we commit this day to you, and I pray that you would just bind up all powers of darkness, Lord, that your word would have free course, and I do pray that you would just use my tongue and lips to communicate the burden you have laid on my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have a title for the message this morning. Maybe a little different title, but Beware, an Appeal from God. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Here, God is reminding the children of Israel how he sustained them on their journey through the wilderness, and they're about to enter into the promised land. It's a land of brooks and fountains. It's a land of wheat and barley and vines and figs. There's plenty there. You know, they're just coming out of the wilderness right now, and they've faced many hardships. They've gone through some difficult times. They were hungry at times, but God took care of them. And I just want to back up a little bit. You know, this is an appeal to every person in this room, whether you're an adult or whether you're a young person. It's an appeal from God to each one of us. And so God here, he says in verse 11, Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And so God is saying here, beware. You know, when you're beware of something, you're paying attention. You're on a guard against. For me, you know, when I walk into a place and I see a beware of the dog sign on the side of the yard or tree, I'm on guard because I don't care for dogs, you know. And last thing I do is want to be bit by one. And so the scripture here says, beware. You're on guard. You're watching. You're watching for that dog. Your eyes are on guard. You're looking out for him because that sign isn't there for a reason. That sign is there for a purpose to warn you, someone coming into your property, that there's one on here that might bite you, right? Most people that do that. And so in the same sense here, God is telling them, beware. And, you know, lest they get in the land that they're going to turn away from him, from keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes. And I have a verse in Revelations chapter, I think it's Revelations chapter 12, verse 11, says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so here we see that the dragon was wroth with the woman. You could say that today that the woman is the church. And he went to war to make with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so God is telling the children of Israel that they should beware lest they forget God in keeping his commandments and judgment. And then we read in Revelations that we have an enemy, the dragon, who is went to war against those that are keeping the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so God is warning us, beware. And so this burden I've been on my heart for a long time, and I guess it's just been magnified a month and a half or so ago. And as I think of my children, I have grandchildren, and I think of, you know, what goes beyond that. You know, if the world stands, that they don't forget God in keeping his commandments. And Abraham had this burden. If we go to Genesis chapter 24, just read a couple verses there. Abraham had this burden for his son Isaac. I'll read here. He's seeking a wife for his son Isaac. Genesis 24:3 says, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven. This is, he's talking to his servant Eliezer, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? So Eliezer here, he's looking at this as a big task. You know, me going into a far country and seeking a wife for your son. You know, what if she's not going to come back with me? You know, should I just come back and take Isaac with me and maybe they can see her, see him, and that would persuade him maybe? You know, he's saying, What if she doesn't want to come back? Should I take your son again into the land from where you came from? And I want you to notice Abraham's response in verse 6 on down through 9. And Abraham said unto him, beware. He says, beware. You know, look out. Don't that thou bring not my son thither again. Because I believe Abraham had a burden. He knew what would happen if his son Isaac would go back into from where they came out. He says, beware, you know, that you be on guard against that one. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Verse 8, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this oath. Only bring not my son thither again. So here we see that Abraham was not willing to sacrifice his son to the heathen for a wife. He says, you will not be held accountable for the oath that you just did by if she is not willing to come back with you. I will not hold you accountable for this oath. Only do not bring my son thither. Don't take my son back there. That was his burden. So Abraham had a burden, and we're going to see here a little later on that God knew he was going to be able to command his children. And so, as I said here, this burden has been, I've always carry this burden, but it's just been magnified recently, as you know, been witnessing and talking to different people. Recently, I had a conversation with a couple that was looking to possibly to build a house. They wanted to meet with them, and as I was talking with them on the phone, I picked up that they were Catholic, and they're expecting their sixth child, and they homeschool, need more room, and you know, I find this intriguing, but what really got my mind rolling, you know, they said they're Catholic and their last name is Overholt. Overholt. And I'm thinking, well, that's a Mennonite name. And so, you know, we ended up meeting and we talked about what they wanted and what house plans and all that. But after we were done, our conversation turned to other things. You know, my mind was curious. I asked where they go to church, and they said that they go to a traditional Latin Mass Catholic church in Columbus. And then they got talking a little bit about there's a lot of Overholts in their area. And I said, well, that's also a popular Mennonite name. Because, you know, and then they made a statement to me that just really brought this burden on. Their grandpa, his grandpa and grandma were Mennonites. And that got my mind rolling. And so as I think about that, he says that I don't know where his grandparents were in their walk with God, but what my burden is here, you know, the Bible says, beware lest we forget God. You know, we have all these young people in here. Someday, Lord willing, many of you are going to have children. Someday, many of you will have grandchildren. Someday, if the world stands, you'll probably be, possibly be great-grandparents in here. But, you know, as I thought about this couple, here was someone, if you go back far enough, that their ancestors probably came out of the Catholic Church, and they, even possibly, their ancestors could be in the martyr's mirror, where they gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ, but somewhere along the line, someone forgot God to keep his commandments. And now it's a full circle, right back to where it started. And that's a burden to me, that that through the generations, and we have warnings in the scripture over and over how children of Israel, there was a generation or two that revival came and they served God. And then they apostatized, and there were generations lost. And then revival came again later on. And so I share these things that my heart for this message is, God says, beware lest you forget God. You know, we read here in Deuteronomy here that God says, lest they forget, they come out of the house of bondage. In Deuteronomy 8, he says there that then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And many of us come out of the house of bondage. And what will our descendants be down the road? The heart of God is, beware that you don't forget me. And then last Saturday, you know, this burden just intensified again. We were, many of us were out preaching at the Ohio State football game. And on our way out, you know, we're meeting young people, students coming in. And Jeremy, Brother Jeremy and I, we were in the rear, walking. Everybody else was in front of us. And a young lady, about 18, 19 years old, she said she was a freshman at OSU, stopped Jeremy and started asking him questions if he's Amish or Mennonite. And she was dressed in a very immodest way. She mixed right in with the rest of the group. And then she told us that her last name was Hostetler, and that her grandparents are Mennonites up in Kidron, Ohio. And again, my mind started to roll. Here again, you have a situation where, you know, people identify with Anabaptists that come out. Probably if you go back far enough, I don't know where her grandparents are in the faith, but I'm just saying, more than likely, somewhere along the line, there was true evangelical faith where that brought them to this point. But here you have someone who's been assimilated back into society. And the Bible says, beware lest thou forget God. And I think of, you know, your young people growing up, you know, I know this world has attractions and allurements, but, you know, is it worth, when you think of you having children down the road, that they would assimilate back into society and forget God? Let's jump in down to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19, or 18. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get well, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods. You know, those stories that I just shared you, that's what happened. You know, they're walking after other gods and serve them and worship them. God says, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. And so basically God is saying, you know, if we are going to forget him, you know, you're going to perish just like all nations that don't know God. And so, and it's not the heart of God that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God, that every person. It's not the heart of God that any would be lost. And we turn back a page, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, we see God's cry coming forth to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hands, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And so the Lord here is giving them instructions. He knows the tendency of man that, you know, what's going to happen. And we live in a land of fullness today, fullness of bread, where we have wells, we have vineyards, we have fields full of food, you know, and everything is full. And so the Lord is giving them instructions here that you should teach your children diligently. You should be talking to them about the ways of the Lord. And he's even telling them that they should write them on their doorposts, and that they should do all these things with the word of God for a continual reminder, and to be diligent. And so I am just want to inspire you today, you know, to convey my burden as I've talked to these different people, that it's a burden on my heart, and I just would like to convey it to you that you, each one of you, would hear an appeal from God where he says, beware, whether you're a young person, whether you're older, you would hear an appeal from God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. The Lord will be faithful in his part. It's up to us. He says he will do his part if we will be faithful. I want you to notice it's not God's fault. God doesn't forget. It's us who forgets. And God says we should beware of it. And so that's a couple examples in the New Testament. But when we turn to the, that's a couple examples in the Old Testament of beware, but this same cry follows into the New Testament. You know, we see this word over and over when we look into the New Testament. Jesus and the apostles, they echo the same cry, beware. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is religion and tradition. He says, beware of the leaven of the scribes, which represents false doctrine, false teaching. And he also says, beware of the leaven of Herod. Herod represents the world. You know, the world has things to offer. He says, beware. And then he also says, beware of covetousness, which is idolatry. And so that, that one affects us in a very subtle way, I believe, as believers. Beware of covetousness. These things cause men and women to forget God and keep his commandments. And so I'm going to go through the New Testament here and just go through some of these that cause men to forget God. And also in the New Testament, we see words that have a similar meaning, like spoil, beguile, corrupted. Beguile means to rob of your prize or trick. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul's cry in verse 1. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you." Paul's saying, "I have a great burden for you," he says, "and for them at Laodicea, and as for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, or trick you with smooth words, or for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." I like that verse there. The Apostle Paul says he was beholding their order. You know, the church at Colossae, they had order there, and they had steadfastness there. And in verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And verse 8, he warns them, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You know, the only way that you and I are not going to be spoiled is by following after Christ. And so I want to just look at, you know, he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit there, and not after Christ." Genesis 3:13 says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And so, the devil is out to trick you. The devil, that's his number one. He did that in the beginning. He's still at it today, and he still wants to do it. And so, and he's doing it with smooth words and enticing words. That's how he came and did it there. And that's what philosophy is. And vain deceit is trickery. If we go to Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 18, the Apostle Paul here echoes this again. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." And again, I believe that's the leaven of the scribes, smooth words, able to take the word of God and twist it and turn it to fit your agenda, and it becomes philosophy instead of following after Christ in sincerity and truth. It's not after Christ. And so the serpent beguiled Eve with reasoning, philosophy, enticing words. And he robbed Eve from her life that she had in the garden. He robbed her of her prize. You know, remember, beguile is to rob of your prize. Paul says these words in 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know what the simplicity is in Christ? We've read it over and over in Deuteronomy, and there is, keep his commandments, obey. Obedience. That's the simplicity that is in Christ. That's the simplicity. Obedience. We read that over and over there in Deuteronomy. Lest you forget in keeping my commandments. That's the simplicity that is in Christ. That separates the true believers from the professing. And so down through the centuries, Jesus also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Down through the centuries, many people have been robbed from their reward because of deceit and philosophy, good words, fair speeches. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says this, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We aren't those of that corrupt the word of God, but in sincerity. You know, last Saturday also, I had another example. There was someone else out there passing out tracts, preaching. The Apostle Paul says, well, if they're preaching in truth or in pretense, I rejoice. And so I do that, but he came up to me and asked me about my gospel sign, which all I had is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, where it says, be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor homosexual, nor swindler shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he asked me if I believe that that means that they will not go to heaven. And I said, yes, I do, because that's what it says. And he tried to, he had his own philosophy and smooth words to say that, you know, that that's not true. That's false doctrine. The way I see that is false doctrine. Well, no, that's corrupting the word of God. Take the word of God and let it say what it says and not try to interpret it through a certain denominational lens, but let it say what it says. And so we are not of those that corrupt the word of God. That's vain deceit and that's philosophy in smooth words. It sounds good to the flesh. It makes the person that's walking in the flesh feel good and lets them in their sin. And so the Apostle Paul says, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in the gospel. So we'll move on to the next one. It says, beware lest any man spoil you after the tradition of men, rob you of your prize because of tradition of men. And that falls in the category, I believe, of the leaven of the Pharisees. They, as I think of the tradition of men, you know, I think of this Catholic couple I shared about earlier. If you go back far enough, their ancestors left the tradition of men to follow after Christ. And now years later, descendants right back into the tradition of men because somewhere along the line, someone was spoiled. Someone was beguiled. Someone was robbed of the prize. And I also think of, you know, my background, where I come from, you know, the Amish, they boast of an Anabaptist heritage. Many of their forefathers have paid the price, come out of the Catholic Church and gave their lives. They would boast of the, and today you have a large culture in general, not as a whole, but a large culture in general who are following after, have been spoiled because of the traditions of men, because somewhere along the line, the tradition, they were spoiled. They were robbed of their prize. They were beguiled. Sin is rampant in many of them. And the tradition of men trumps the teachings and the of Christ. The tradition, their tradition and culture trumps the teachings of Christ. And so somewhere along the line, they've been spoiled. You know, I can still remember sitting 20 years ago in a church setting, waiting for church to start, and two old gray-haired men sitting over on the side talking about the revival that was taking place and laughing about the people who were getting born, think they're getting born again, think they're getting saved. You know, and today, both those men are in eternity. And my friend, you know, that's my burden as I think of it. Somewhere along the line, their heritage, their ancestry, they paid the price with their own blood, and it has come down. They were spoiled by the tradition of men where they no longer following Christ. And, you know, my mind goes to my grandfather. I grew up in the same house for a few years he did. And then they built a Doughty house just down the road from us, about 100 feet. And so for the first 20 years of my life, I knew him. I saw him almost every day. And I knew him well. He got ordained in the ministry at a very early age. He lived in his to live in his 90s, and so he was in the ministry for 70 years. He did W-2 service, all that. And then after I got converted, I had a burden. I wanted to talk to him to see about where he is at with Christ. And he told me these words: "I was born once, and it is enough." And so, you know, and as far as I know, that's how he passed into eternity. And I share this because somewhere along the line, he did all those things that were right. Many of those things that were right, you know, non-resistance and all those things. But they're in vain because they were not after Christ. Christ was not a part, of it. And so, somewhere along the line, you know what we have, you and I have here today. You know, it's not after Christ. If it's not wanting to follow Christ, it'll turn into traditions of men. It will turn into traditions of men. And your ancestors you'll see the same results that we see in our world today among the large Amish culture in general. And again, I say that not as a whole. I realize there's some out there, but as a whole. Someone was spoiled by the tradition of men. And God's cry is, beware lest we forget him. And we see Paul's cry here now that it has turned, the beware has turned that it's not after Christ. Beware, it's not after Christ. And so that's my burden as a father today and as a grandfather. Am I instilling Christ in my children? Will they be able to teach their children? The next one is says, beware lest any man spoil you after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. You know, this world makes things look glamorous with its allurements, fashions, flashing lights, places to go. Many people with Christian roots or background are robbed from their prize because they have been spoiled by the rudiments of the world. They assimilate into the world, and many generations are lost. It's heart-wrenching. Loss, loss, loss throughout eternity. You know, after I walked away from that young lady last Saturday, my heart was just heavy as I thought about these things. Loss throughout eternity. Assimilate back into the world. Here was a young lady that had Christian roots and assimilated back into society. And there's many others I know personally that have Christian roots and have assimilated back into the world because they have been spoiled by the rudiments of the world. Am I making Timothys? Am I making Isaacs and Jacob? You know, Timothy was a third generation Christian. I was just curious, how many first generation Christians are in here? There's a few. How many second generation Christians? How many third generation? So there's some of every one, but you know, what about keeping it alive, teaching it, passing it on to our children? Timothy was a third generation. Christian. Deuteronomy 7:9. Again, says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." You know, some of you are third generation, but you know, here it says the Lord is faithful for 1,000 generations, not just 3, not just 4. And so I would like, my burden is today that every one of us would grab this burden and that we'd be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. Genesis 18 verse 19 says, God says this about Abraham, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice, judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So God had this confidence in Abraham. They shall keep the way of the Lord. He will. I want you to notice that. And if we go back into our text in Deuteronomy 8:11, he says, "Beware that they forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes, which I command you this day." And so, you know, keeping his commandments, following after Christ, there it says they shall keep the way of the Lord. It's a way of life. It's a way of living. It's a way, you know, the tradition of men. It's a way of life. The rudiments of the world. It's a way of life. And each one is a way of life. But, you know, it needs to be after Christ. Christ said, "I am the way. I am the truth." And so it needs to be after Christ and not after the tradition of men. All those are ways of life. But Christ has a way of life. John 14, 15, again, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14, 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." And so, notice there in John 14, 21, it says, "He that hath my commandments." There's many people profess to know God, but he goes on to say, "and keepeth them." And that's God's heart there that we read in Deuteronomy. Beware, you know, lest you forget in keeping them. And God said this of Abraham, "I know that he will command his children in the way of the Lord." And so we see that all tying together. You know, there's a difference between knowing God and knowing of his commandments and keeping them. It's keeping them that will, you know, I believe they will help you to be faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9, "God will keep mercy with them that love and keep his commandments." Abraham will command his children to keep the way of the Lord. And when we follow after Christ, we will keep his commandments. You know, the spoiling usually starts really small. The spoiling starts really small. You take an apple, I don't have one up here, or you take a piece of fruit, you know, you see a little spot on it, but you let that apple in the box with the rest of the apples, it'll gain momentum, and it will spoil the whole box. You know, when you deal with that spot, it's really small. The apple is still edible. But it normally starts with little things. The spoiling starts by letting little things slip in and keeping the commandments of Christ and the effect it has on generations to come. I shared with you examples that I gave you already. The effects that it has on generations to come. You know, are we like Abraham, able to command our children and our household after God to keep his commandments, or are we letting little things slip in? You know, as I think, thinking about it, what are usually some of the first noticeable little things that start manifesting? You know, I'm not saying that, you know, no. A lot of times, the little things that start to slip in, that start manifesting, they're actually pointing to a bigger thing that's going on in the heart. And I just had to think, you know, when you see a father, I've seen this over and over already, who is meek and humble, walking with the Lord, and the son comes along, and he's a complete different picture than his father, you know. He dresses different. His hairstyle is different. You know, those are some of the little things that start slipping in. But like I said, they point to a bigger issue that's going on. They're forgetting God. They're forgetting to going after Christ. And I've witnessed it in my lifetime. And I've watched progression. I've seen people assimilate into the world. But it started with those first noticeable things. Their hairstyle was different than their dad's. Their clothes was different than their dad's. They're no longer, and it's a start of drift. And if young men think that they can do that, guess what? Their children are going to take a step further. And I've seen it over and over. It's those little things that start to slip. When you see a godly woman, meek and modest, walking with God, and her daughters don't look the same as mom anymore. In hairstyle and dress, there's a drift, and it normally doesn't stop. Yes, the church can make rules to stop it, but it won't stop because the heart's not after Christ. The church can make rules to try to sway it or to stay it, but if your heart's not after Christ, it won't stop. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, God's mercy is with them that love him and keep his commandments. Jude 1, verse 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And so here you have the opposite of being spoiled. You know, as you have a heart after God and you are going after Jesus Christ, your heart and your lives will be preserved, it says. You're preserved. You know, we don't need to be ashamed of being a biblical Christian. And yes, brothers, if we expect our wives to dress the way they do, then let's not be ashamed to stand with them and to stand out with them. You know, just recently I going by a place and there was a couple out by their car putting some groceries in, and the husband was in t-shirt and faded jeans, and his wife had a dress down to her ankles and covered in a nice way, and it doesn't look the two don't match. We need to be willing to stand with our wives, our sisters. Let's not be ashamed of keeping God's commandments. The Bible says, beware. And I think this happens a lot. Recently, I felt like the Lord just spoke to me in this area. You know, the Lord lets things happen sometime. I took a load of scrap into Mount Vernon scrapyard, load of metal. And I was out there. There's always the same guy who comes and tells me where he wants me to back up and dump every time. Normally it's a different spot. And so I've met him many times already as I go in there. And we talk and some, and he came up to me the last time in there and he says, "Why are you always dressed so nice?" And all I had is it wasn't dressed very nice or anything. I had dirty work clothes on, but it gave me an opportunity to share Christ. He noticed something. And so I share that as a testimony. You know, I didn't have nice clothes on. I had Goodwill's clothes on, but there is a biblical attire. We're called to be a peculiar people. Beware lest any man spoil you, and think of the effects it will have on your children in generations to come. Will they be a Timothy, or will they assimilate into society and be lost throughout eternal? Those little decisions you make now will have consequences. I've witnessed it in my 20 years of walking with Christ. Be not deceived. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Peter, 2 Peter 3:17 says, Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Colossians 2, again, closing here. Let no man beguile you, let no man rob you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, there's Christ, not holding the head, from which all the body of the joints and bands have nourishment ministered, knit together, increases with the increase of God. And so I just want to encourage you that you would beware lest you forget to keep the commandments of God, which are not after, and those that Christ has given to us. Because, you know, someday you young people, you will be grandparents. Someday you will have descendants. Where will they end up being in eternity? It's not the will of God that any should perish. He says his faithfulness is to 1,000 generations. So let's. So I pray that you can receive this burden and let's strive together to instill into our children the values. You know, take serious, because take Christina here. Think if that was your child down the way. Would you want it to be lost and assimilated into society? That'd be your grandchild. And, you know, each one of you that's young, just think in those terms as you think, you know, as you make choices and want, you know, eternity isn't worth those things the world has to offer or tradition has to offer compared to what Christ has for us here and now and in eternity. So God bless you all and thank you for listening.